I see we have a large and diverse group here, which is surely what my mom deserves. It is also very helpful because I have a question, and I'm glad to have a range of views. If a woman wears white shoes after Labor Day, and her mother is not there to see it, is it still wrong? I know most of you know my mother as a groundbreaking feminist, a woman ahead of her time, and in many ways, she absolutely was. She believed women can and should do anything and everything in the professional sphere, but in the fashion sphere, try convincing her that it was okay to carry a brown handbag while wearing black pumps. And in our private lives, I was baffled beyond words one day when my mother told me that it was not appropriate for a girl to call a boy on the phone. My mother, the judge, told me you have to wait for the boy to call you. I ignored her, of course. But imagine my annoyance in high school when that book called The Rules was a bestseller. Suddenly, never calling a boy was all the rage. I saw the book in the store and I thought, $9.95? My mother will give you this advice for free. But in her defense, despite her love for the music of the 60s, my mom lived most of her childhood years in the 50s in a small city in western Massachusetts. So it should not surprise us that in addition to some old-fashioned but very firmly held views on fashion and dating, my mother also had a secret skill. When I was in seventh grade, my sister and I tried out for the St. Mark's production of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. They called to offer my sister a speaking role, lead mouse, which of course, being who she is, Rachel only accepted on the condition they find something for me. So I was the skunk. And part of being the skunk, or any animal cast only out of pity, you had to provide your own costume. Enter Mary Ellen Albrecht and her secret skill. Because it turns out that before she was fighting for the right of police women to serve in uniform, she was winning sewing competitions at the local 4-H club. She was creating her own stunning homecoming and prom dresses, which were, by the way, the envy of the girls in the store-bought gowns. It turns out she won a lot of crowns and sashes in her high school days. So my mother, champion of justice and secret expert seamstress, set herself to the creation of a skunk costume. And it was magnificent. She created an armature out of bent coat hangers to support a full curving tail that stood out from my back. She used some black fabric she already had, always thrifty, but she trimmed it in new white feather boas that fluttered when I walked. The costume was so good, the skunk was written into the script. I was given a line. But of course, this had been a dangerous move for my mother. Her secret was out. And the following year, they asked her if she would be in charge of costumes for the entire play. And do you know what she did? She said no. It seems like these days there are whole books and websites and Instagram accounts and poster collections dedicating to telling women, especially mothers, that it is okay to say no. Mom was saying no before it was cool. Just another way she was ahead of her time. Her cooking, on the other hand, when I was little, her signature dish to take to potluck parties was a Stouffer's spinach souffle. The secret, she said, was all in the presentation. If you let the frozen souffle thaw just a little bit, you could ease it out of that tin foil that it comes in and slide it into your own baking dish. Take it off to the party and no one has to know. Except everyone knew because she told them. She was not embarrassed that tuna casserole was special occasion fare at our house. She owned it. And she could say proudly that she had stumped my French aunt, who tried in vain to recreate Mom's delicate tomato sauce that was actually Campbell's condensed soup. She knew she would not be a grandma remembered for her baking, so she found other ways to dazzle her 5 grandchildren. She eschewed beaches and theme parks in favor of excursions on working lobster boats, overnight train trips, and hikes into the wilderness. Here at home, she loved taking the grandkids to the National Building Museum, and she escorted our son's whole 6th grade class on a private tour of the Supreme Court, cementing herself as Jack's cool grandma in the minds of 15, 12-year-olds. And of course, there was art. She created art for them and encouraged them in their own artwork. On my daughter Maggie's most recent visit, Mom told Maggie that one of Maggie's artistic creations was displayed in every room of the apartment and sent her looking for them. And she always insisted the kids sign their artwork, as professional artists do. Mom requested that we stay away from phrases like long and valiant battle with cancer. But I feel it must be said that 3 of her 5 grandchildren were born after her diagnosis, and another one was just an infant at the time. And look at them now. It was long, it was valiant, but most of the time, it was also joyful, thanks to these kids and to all of you. For almost 10 years, Mom kept cancer in its place, at the periphery of her full and vibrant life. It helped that she had that Yankee, it could be worse, mentality. But I also think she was truly unafraid of what was next. For as Father Greg Poyle puts it so well, Jesus has already put death in its place. And so, as I will no doubt explain very badly to my children in the days to come, Grandma has died and yet lives forever. She is not here, but she is everywhere. Which brings me back to my question about whether I can now get away with the white shoes after Labor Day. And I guess I just answered it. Nope. Thank you.